Did anybody watch the NFL draft? Did anybody from Tennessee get drafted?
No.
I knew that. I'm just messing. I really want them to be good. You know why? Because I like y'all. So, you know, that's the thing. Most of the teams you don't like is because of the fan base. So, I kind of like, I don't like Tennessee, but I like y'all. So, I don't hate Tennessee. So, but I do like making fun. Anyway, that's enjoyable. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we've completed, we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. So, we're going to pick up here in chapter 2. And we're still dealing, it started in, really in chapter 1, verse 1, but really in verse 18. And it goes on down to, I think, chapter 3, and maybe verse 4. You see a theme of man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. And in these verses, you're going to see the same thing again. He's trying to get them to understand that it's not about what you can do, it's about what God can do. So anyway, I can't remember what I entitled. I didn't write it on my title, on my sheet, but I think I accomplishing great things for God, okay? And I know that's kind of generic, but I'll kind of share what I mean by that. But, you know, accomplishing something for God. Here's the top 10 tips to achieve anything that you want. Okay, number one, focus on commitment, not motivation. Focus on commitment, not motivation. Seek knowledge, not results. Make the journey fun. Get rid of stagnating thoughts. Use your imagination. Stop being nice to yourself. Get rid of distractions. Don't rely on others. Plan and protect yourself from burnout. Now, okay, I just Googled that if you want to know the truth, and that was just one list that came up on how to achieve things. Now, the one thing that I see there in this list is that it has one thing in common for you to be successful. And that is all about that person. It's all about that person. And see, you know, the problem here, and I don't have a problem with that. I mean, obviously, if you want to do something, kind of focus on yourself. But the problem is when it comes to God, or accomplishing something for God, it can't be about you. It's got to be about God. And, you know, and I think what happens a lot of times, and what I mean by that, if we want to accomplish something for God, you know, for example, sharing the gospel. Okay, if you want to learn, if you want to be able to accomplish, you know, being a witness for Him, you know, maybe it's teaching a class, maybe it, here's a big one in my opinion, is, you know, teaching your kid to be godly. You know, I mean, hopefully that's one of the things you want to do, is teach your kid to be godly. You know, how do you do that? You know, maybe you want to accomplish something for God in the sense that you want to become a godly person. Maybe you want to become a godly husband or a godly wife. Maybe you want to become a godly man or a godly woman. You know, here's the thing, we tend to focus either on our ability, what we can do, or sometimes we have a tendency to focus on what we can't do. You know, we make excuses, well, I can't do this, or I can't do that, you know, and we have that tendency. You know, we when it comes to sharing the gospel, we say things like, I don't know enough, you know, or maybe you say, you know what, I'm not perfect myself. I mean, have you ever felt inadequate because you know deep down that, you know, you're just a sinner like everyone else? You know, or sometimes, you know, or you may say, I'm not like so-and-so. You know, especially if you're in ministry like me, it's real easy to start seeing other people. You know, I know y'all think I'm very confident, I put on persona, but, you know, deep down sometimes, you know, I doubt myself sometimes. You know, so, you know, we might be like, I'm not like so-and-so, I can't do anything for God. You know, and like that, I will refer to this over and over, but I mean, I think it's so important. You know, you might say, even if you have kids, you may say, I don't have all the answers. You know, I don't know if I can, I'm not going to be able to raise my kids godly. And the problem is that what we do a lot of times is because we're scared to do something, we don't do anything at all. Okay, and that's kind of where I want to go with this. So, the problem, we spend too much time focusing on what we can't do, or haven't done, or don't know, that we never even attempt to accomplish something for God. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants you to be a clean vessel. Okay? God does want you to study to show yourself approved. God does want you to claim, or know what you claim to be. He wants it to match what you really are. Now, don't get me wrong. But I thought about this. If we wait until the day that we think we have arrived to do something for God, we'll never do it. Because that day will never come, hopefully, yes, it's your attitude. You know, there hadn't been a time when I shared my faith that I thought, you know what, I know I got all the answers. I mean, if this person asked me a question, I know exactly what to say. That day hadn't come yet. So I want to preach to you today on how to accomplish something for God. Here's the context. In 1 Corinthians, here's the author. It's Paul, okay? You say, well, why do you bring him up? We know it's Paul. Well, if there's a man who accomplished something for God, it was Paul. I mean, he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. He started multiple churches. He won countless people to Jesus. He served Jesus, no matter the condition. He served him when he was hungry. He served him when he was poor. He served him when he was alone. He served him when he was around a lot of people. He served him in prison. He stood in front of elite people and preached. My point is, if there's somebody that we need to listen to about accomplishing something for God, it would be Paul. Here's the text, the context once again. Paul has been battling, like I said, people who esteem man's wisdom over God's wisdom, which is the day we live in now. The believers had started adopting the mindset, and that mindset. And one way that Paul battles this problem is to describe how he came to them. And how they became a Christian. Let's read these verses in verses 1 through 5. It says this. And I, brethren, when I came to you, not with excellency of speech and of wisdom. Once again, it makes sense that you know that they think that man's wisdom and man's ability is all that matters. And you still see that he's combating that. Declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weaknesses and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let's pray once again for this. Father, I do ask you just for the next few minutes, Lord, that you will take me, Lord, and use me, and help the people not hear what I have to say, but what your word says, and Lord, help us, mainly all we want to do today, and we just want to better explain what these verses mean. That's it. And the more we can understand these verses, the more that we can grow, and I ask you to help us to do that today. So we see here, Paul reveals two things in this text, okay? He reveals his mission, which is Christ, and he reveals his method, which he said it's not about me. And so in doing this, he reveals how to accomplish something for God. Number one, and it's only 2 points today, very practical, quit trusting in your abilities. Quit trusting in your ability. I believe the reason that many believers do not accomplish anything for God is they focus on their abilities. And like I said a minute ago, when we say that, what we automatically think is, we think about somebody who says, I'm good at everything. But I've come to find out that what keeps a lot of believers from doing anything for God, especially when it comes to witnessing, especially when it comes to maybe teaching a class, or when it comes to even, trying to raise your kid, is that what happens is we kind of sit back and we say this, I don't have that ability. I don't have that knowledge. And that's kind of where I want to go with this today. Is that that's what happened. Is that there's a second group who never comes to anything because of focusing on really the abilities that they don't have. Which, by the way, in reality, that's pride. Because remember, pride is not thinking more of yourself, or humility is not thinking more or less. It's not thinking about yourself at all. Pride is the person that goes around and says, I'm somebody. But the person who says, I'm a nobody, that's pride too, because they're focused on themselves. But anyway, that's another sermon. Here's the thing. I really do believe that, at least with me sometimes, the reason I kept myself not witnessing I can't myself not doing certain things, or, you know, and because deep down I'm like, I can't do that. Well, you're in luck today. If you think you can't do it, you're in luck, because we're going to see that it's not your abilities. So here's the first thing I want to point out here is Paul's approach. Here's Paul's approach in verse 1 through 2. He describes how he came to them in Corinth. Okay, remember Corinth, the wicked city? He left Athens. He preached a sermon on Mars Hill. And he comes to them, and this is what he says. Number one, he said, I wasn't amazing. Look at verse 1. It says here, when I came to you, not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. See, the word excellent means the idea of outstanding, prominent, preeminent. And it says here that Paul did not choose that kind of speech. It says here that his speech wasn't extraordinary. Now, I want you to think about this. We kind of breathe through that. I want you to think about this. Paul was a public speaker, okay? If you're a public speaker, what do you want to do? At least, you may think I'm terrible, but I do at least try to be someone you can listen to. I try my best. You may say you need to keep working on it. I don't know, but Paul here is a public speaker, and he basically says, although he could have dazzled them with his preaching, he didn't. He didn't. He purposely said, I'm not going to let my ability be the reason that you get saved. Which is wondering why I don't like all this hooping and hollering and emotionalism. I can't stand emotionalism. And it is in conservative church as well. Okay, emotionalism. You know, I want it to be the word of God. And Paul said here, he said, my preaching would not have, would have dazzled you. If Paul would have came and you sit there and you heard what he preached, you know what? I said, well, he can preach, that's about it. He said the truth. You wouldn't have been called him to book him for a revival. Not this time, at least. I mean, he wouldn't be, we got about 5 or 6 preachers we always want to hear. He wouldn't be booked up all year for revivals with the way that he preached. Well, that tells me something. That you don't have to be amazing to accomplish something for God. And we live in a world today that basically says you have to be amazing. You have to be awesome. Basically, social media these days. You know, everybody looks amazing, right? And when we start thinking that ourselves, we don't think, man, I got to be amazing. I got to be super talented, you know, to be able to do something for God. Well, what's great is Paul said, when I came to you, when I approached you, I was not amazing. Here's the thing. Here's the truth. You don't have to be amazing. You know what? If you want to be a godly spouse, you don't have to be amazing. If you want to be a parent who raises your kids be godly, you don't have to be amazing. If you want to teach a class, now obviously if you're not apt to teach, don't teach class. But you know, if you think you can teach, you know, you don't have to be amazing. Number two, he said, when I approached you in Corinth, he said, I did not sound intelligent. And it says this. When I came to you, not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. That word wisdom means skillful and expert. It means, John Phillips said this, it's the ideal of education. He said he deliberately avoided the natural advantages of being elegant and educated sounding. Which, by the way, the Corinth put a lot of pride in their intellect. The truth of doing great things for God isn't going to be through your intelligence. Now, it doesn't mean that a preacher can't be educated. Okay, please don't get me wrong. Paul was very educated. Paul's saying that the foundation that he was trusting in to accomplish something for God wasn't in his education. That's not what it's in. It wasn't in his wisdom. Now, remember, you do need to study. Because remember, when I say you interpret the Bible in light of the Bible. See, what happens sometimes is somebody will hear this and say, well, bless God, we're not supposed to study at all. I should get up here and not even study during the week. If I did that, you would not want me up here. You may not want me up here anyway, but you definitely wouldn't want me up here that way. Well, remember this. You interpret the Bible in light of the Bible. Okay, right here, and Paul's saying, No, it's not in your wisdom that you're going to accomplish something for God. But then in other verses, it say what? Studying to show yourself approved. See, it balances out, okay? You know, you're supposed to study, but you're not supposed to get up and say that reason that you're going to be a great Christian today is because of what I can tell you. No. Okay, there's a balance. But here, what's great, though, is that you don't have to be the smartest person. You don't have to have a PhD in biblical studies to do something for God. You don't have to have all the answers to every skeptic's question to accomplish something for grace. You can witness somebody and not have all the answers. That's okay. You're not going to have all the answers. But I'm afraid we have so many people who never do anything for God because they say that, and not in a bad way, when they say, I just can't do it. They literally think, you know, I can't do it. Well, a great thing, you don't have, it's not in you. And when we definitely are living in a society, even in a Christian circle, that put a lot of emphasis on looks, being smart, being popular, and I'm not saying that's wrong, you know. But that's not what it's about. Paul accomplished many great things at Corinth. He was able to go into one of the most wickedest cities in that area. And he prided himself in knowledge and wisdom, and he took the simple, unpopular message of Jesus and started the church. That's pretty amazing. How did he do it? I'll tell you. He didn't do it by amazing them with his ability. Instead, he did the opposite. Here's the thing. You know, the only thing is be all you can be. Don't wait until you're all that you need to be to serve God. Don't wait to witness just because you don't have all the answers. Don't wait to instruct your kids because you don't know anything. Here's the thing. What you do for God isn't in your ability. It's really in your availability. Just take what you have and work with it. I mean, one day me and my dad was on the porch talking when I was a teenager, and I was trying to get a job somewhere. And he said, why'd you ask so-and-so at church? You know, he works there. He can give you a reference. His name was Brother Gerald. And I said, okay. He said, I used to work up there. And he didn't start telling me a story. When he was about 20-something, he wasn't saved. And he said Brother Gerald used to invite him to church. He said he used to kind of, you know, say, hey, you want to come to church, this and that. And he never did. You know, my dad said when people started talking dirty, you know, he would leave. You know, he was not no outside. You know, he didn't come to my dad and give him all the theology. You know, he simply just asked him to come to church. I don't know, he may have said more than that. But Brother Gerald may have walked away thinking, man, I didn't do anything. I mean, I was a failure. But you know what? He really wasn't a failure. Because 30 years later, my dad still remembered that. And what's funny, we ended up being in the same church later. See, he may have walked away and said, you know what? I should have done better. He may have even said, you know what? I should have witnessed to him. All I did was invite him to church. But you know what he did? He planted a seed in my dad's life. And he planted a seed that said, I'm not right with God. And my dad was saved. My dad was saved. You know, I remember one time he said, I pulled up to a stop sign, you know, after partying all night, and just stopped there and think, man, there's got to be something more than this. And there's no doubt things like that is one of the things that got my dad to think that. So my point is that he might walk away and say, man, I didn't do it right. I did it wrong. But here's the thing. It's not in your abilities. That's what Paul tells us here. So we see here Paul's approach definitely tells us that what in his ability. But number two, Paul's attitude. Paul said this in verse 3. He reveals his attitude when he came. He came from Athens to Corinth. He said, my approach was nothing. He said, my attitude. Here's the attitude. I am nothing physically. He said in verse 3, I was in you in weakness. Now this could be taken two ways, but most likely, from what I read, it most likely means that he was frail. I mean, now remember, he had been beaten. He had been shipwrecked. I mean, he had been beaten more than one time. He probably was pretty frail and weak. He had difficulty with his eyesight. Now, other people say his personal view of himself, the fact that he felt inadequate. You know, either way, the thing is that when he came to Corinth, his attitude was, I'm just a weak person. I can't do anything. And he also said this, he said, I came to you and I was doubting myself. Look at verse 3. It says, and in weaknesses and in fear and trembling. The emphasis here is a sense of complete personal inadequacy. Most likely this came because he was in Athens. When he preached the message of Mars Hill, John Philip pointed out that he did everything he could. He reasoned with them. He spoke elegant. He was very impressive in Athens. But he walked away with nobody. And I don't know, but John Philip pointed out the fact that, you know, he took that, I took that as a fact, you know, and it could be a chance when he came to Corinth, he got humbled. And he said, it's not my ability. He probably came and said, you know, I'm doubting myself. I'm doubting what I can do. Number three here, he said, my abilities were not impressive. We've already talked about it, when it says here in verse 4, that my speech and my preaching was not with enticing word of man's wisdom. Once again, he said, I wasn't impressive. Well, does that sound like you and me? And how many times have you not witnessed somebody? How many times have you not done something for God because you doubted yourself and felt weak? Well, great news. Paul felt that same way. So here's what I want you to understand. Number one, really, humility is the key in serving God, okay? That's not really my message today, but humility is the key. Number two, don't let the lack of confidence stop you from serving God. You don't have to have a textbook perfect. You don't have to have a textbook perfect to accomplish things for God. Hey, another story. Me and my dad's going down the road. My best friend David's there. We're going down the road in a Delta 88 Oldsmobile. Anybody remember them? Green, white, the vinyl top. We're cruising. We're all sitting in the front seat, you know, we're cruising. And we were like 13, I think. And my dad begins to do his best to warn us about the sexual temptation. And some verses. And of course, me and my friend were kind of like, okay. We're gouging each other, like, okay. You know. And it really wasn't, he wouldn't be the person to write a book about this. You know. And I don't know what he thought when he got done. When he got to the house, I was reading it saying, Dad, that was great. Thanks for telling us that. You know, he may have walked in the house thinking, you know what? I didn't do that good. He might have said, man, there's a lot of people who can explain that better. But you know what? Me and him both remember that. You know, see, the thing is that he helped us. He warned us. Was it picture perfect? No, but it doesn't have to be. What my dad said, and I'm going to try my best. And we'll get to the second point. And he said, I'm going to try my best in using God's word. I'm afraid we as believers, we don't attempt anything because we don't have any confidence in our ability. But here's the thing, it's not in your ability. That's what Paul states. He said, to accomplish great things, you have to quit believing a lie that it's about your abilities. What you need to do is to focus on one thing. You ready? You want to accomplish something great for God? Focus on God. That's number two. Focus on God. That's all it is. You know, Paul didn't write the books of the Bible or plant churches by focusing on his ability. He accomplished something for God by focusing on God. Hey, you want to see people saved? You want to lead people personally to God? Focus on the Bible. Personally, when you talk to people, talk to them about the Bible. You don't have to have all the answers. Focus on the Word of God. You want to have godly children? Focus on the Word of God. Incorporate it into their lives. Practice it personally and teach it to them. So here we see that's exactly what Paul did. His declaration, we see it in verse 1. It says here, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. What did he do? He declared. And that declared a continuous action. And he said, so when he got to Corinth, he accomplished a great thing. But what he said, I'm going to do, and I'm going to continually declare the word of God. That's what we're supposed to do. You want to see somebody saved? You need to declare the word of God to them. You want to personally grow? You need to read the word of God continually in your life. You want to see godly children? But when they get older, you need to declare the word of God to them. You need to teach it to them. You need to tell them. You need to what the word of God says. No, you're not always going to get it right. You're not going to have any answer. But you need to focus on the Word of God. And that's what Paul did. and focus on his declaring the testimonies of God, which basically is what God did for Christ. When you want to witness somebody, all you really have to do is just share them what God did. What God did. What did God do? He sent Jesus to die on the cross. That's really it. You don't have to have all the answer. Now, don't get me wrong. We definitely need to be ready to help people. But like I said, Easter Sunday, it's up to them to receive it. See, that's what really helped me. Is the sower, the seed, or the force, the soil, the rocky, the thorn, and all that. That what that means is that a picture of their heart. See, today I'm telling you the word of God, and it's your responsibility to receive it. I can't do anything to make you receive it. Some of you will go out here and say, "Meh." Some of y'all gonna go, "Well, I'll think about that." Some of y'all gonna take it and say, "Yeah, that's exactly what I need to do." There's nothing I can do. Same thing. If you want to witness somebody, all you really have to do at the end of the day is just tell them what God did. Now, yeah, we do need to, you know, it's good to help people and with their answer and their question. But all you really have to do at the end of the day is just tell them what God did. And that's the thing. We got so distracted. We think we got to do all these other things. All you have to do is tell them that Christ died for them. We need to focus on God. Hey, today you say that I want to be a godly person 10 years from now. I know some people who I think, I want to be that type of person. You know what you need to do? You need to focus on God. You need to focus on God. That's it. You know what you need to do each and every day? You know, read the Word of God, walk with Him, and that's what's going to change you from the inside out. That's it. It's pretty simple. Now we see here, we obviously see that Paul focused on God in his declaration, but also in his determination. In his determination. Look at verse 2. He said this, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That word "know," according to Robert Picker, really, is probably used in a sense of taking note or giving recognition to. So obviously it's the idea of taking note, like recognition. You know, when I was a teacher, I used to take note of certain students, the ones that were bad. I'd write their name down. I gave them special attention. Paul said, "When I come," he said, "I determined that the only thing they were going to write down when I live was Jesus Christ." That's what we need to be determined. That's what he said. "I'm determined that when they write down, that all they know is Jesus Christ." So what does that tell me? He wasn't focused on his abilities. He was focused on God. Paul was determined that people, when they walked away, and they could write down one thing, that's Jesus. Hey, you want to make a difference for Jesus? Well, then be determined to share Jesus. The things of God. Be your conversation. What are they filled with? Do you ever talk about Jesus? Do you ever share about Jesus? Do you ever brag on Jesus? Now, I'm afraid, and it's up basically for preachers, that we're more concerned with impressing people than we are people walking around knowing Jesus. You know, my goal today and every day shouldn't be for you to walk out and be like, "Man, that was a great public speech." My goal needs to be when you walk out here, you know more about the Word of God. Now, yes, I mean, I'm human. I want you to be like, I don't want you to be like, "Man, I'm glad he got Jesus on his side because he ain't got nothing else going for him." You know, I don't. But at the end of the day, it's a win-win for us. When you walk out of here and you know more about the Word of God, then you know more about God. And that's all it is in your own life. That you know more about God, the people around you know more about God. That is the key. He was determined that they knew Jesus. But number two, he was determined that their faith was in the power of God. Look at verse 5. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Basically, he said, I don't want you to put your faith in what I'm telling you and like my ability. I want you to put your faith in God, which is interesting because what they're doing in chapter 1, they're saying, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of whoever else. But I don't want you to put your faith in people and what they can do. Now, I want you to put your faith in God. So here's the thing. If we were ever going to accomplish something for God, we have to do one thing. And no matter what it is, no matter what the situation is, we have to focus on God. We have to make God the center of everything. For us to accomplish anything for God, you know, for God, we have to focus on God in our personal lives, in our teaching, in our conduct, in our witness, we have to focus on God. That should go with us anywhere we go. And if we live that type of life, we're going to make a difference for God. We're going to make a difference. In conclusion here, two things. If you want to do something great for God, get this. Remember this. It's not about your abilities. It's about focusing on God. As simple as that. As the piano player comes up, we'll have just a moment of invitation. As you stand to your feet, with your hands bowed out of respect to everybody, I simply want to ask you. This would be a great sermon to preach to other preachers. Because I'll be honest with you, it is. Sometimes I have to tell myself, it's not about my abilities. It's about God. And you may be the same way. We live in a culture that says, it's all about what I can do. No, do something great for God. It's all about what God is doing. And we need to focus on Him. And if you're like me, maybe you're not witness like you should. And maybe it's not because you don't love people or don't care. Maybe it's because you have let the devil put doubt in your mind that you can't do it. But here's the thing. You can't do it. But God can. And here's another thing. It don't necessarily have to be perfect. Just try. It's better to try and fail than not try at all. Me and my wife had a little saying one time. No matter what we do, we're going to strike out swinging. I don't know if I'll be a good pastor. I met my first goal, and that was not to run anybody off. And for the most part, I've done that. And a lot of preachers in the first year, that's what they do. I don't know in 5 or 10 years what I'll be. But you know what? And I could sit around and not do anything. But one thing I'm not doing, I'm going to strike out swinging. That's what you need to do as well. Hey, you may not do it right. You may mess up. Just make sure you get the Jesus part right, okay? You may say, they didn't understand that at all. That's okay. Just try. And then be in a play, if God's dealt with you, maybe you feel inadequate. And maybe that's what's been holding you back. And if that's the case, maybe you need to ask God to help you. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you, number one. And number two, maybe you need to ask God to help you. As they play, God dealt with you, I want to encourage you to come.